The following includes a recorded phone call and interview between Lieutenant Scott and Officer Francisco, where Francisco offers up the details of his sexual encounters while he was on duty. For the full context of this minisode, we highly recommend that you listen to The Sociopath and the Whistleblower, a four-part case we cover in Season 1, where we're first introduced to Francisco as the field trainee of a corrupt cop. Then, in Season 2, we dive deeper into Francisco's misconduct in an episode called The Protégé.
This is Sergeant Scott with Police Violent Crimes Unit. Today's date is Monday, July 21st, 2003. It's 4:21 p.m. This is a tape-recorded conversation with Officer related to case number. This is follow-up conversation related to the investigation. Officer's current status is that he is off duty tonight and due to be in to work later on this evening. He's off duty today and due in later on this evening.
Hello?
Hey, is
yeah, can I tell who's calling?
This is Scott.
Yeah, hang on a second. Hey.
Hello?
Hey, this is Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sorry to bother you.
No, you're not bothering me.
Okay. Hey, I just had a follow-up question for you.
Okay.
In the process of going through this stuff, I remembered I never asked you about if there are any other girls that you had any contact with along the way at all related to, you know, I mean, any sexual contact with.
Are you, do you mean like with, I don't understand your...
Anybody else, I guess as I proceed with this investigation, I just didn't want to get any surprises.
Right, you're right.
So...
There were.
Okay.
There were two others.
Who are they?
One, I don't know her name.
Okay.
It was just a one thing done, and it wasn't intercourse or anything like that.
Okay.
And the other one is, God, it's been a while, so I'm trying to think of names.
Okay.
And it was another one night type of a thing.
Okay.
And it wasn't intercourse either.
Okay. Was it, oral?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you in a position you can talk candidly, or is your wife there with you?
Oh, I'm in a position I can.
Okay. Were these both off duty?
They were on duty.
Pardon me?
They were on duty.
On duty?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was all around kind of the same time frame.
Okay. Who?
I could point you to the direction. I couldn't. I don't know a name.
Do you know like where they worked, or did they happen to work at one of the clubs or anything like
no,
that?
No, they're not even associated with that stuff.
Okay. How did you come in contact with them?
You know, I would, let me think here. I think one was a complainant. No, she was a witness of a crime. And we just ended up talking, and it was kind of like one thing led to another type of thing.
Okay.
And she, you know, it was weird. It was like, after it happened, she was like, you know, you need to concentrate on your marriage type thing. And,
okay.
The other one was a complaint on a fight or something like that.
Okay. And so did, how long ago was, let's go back to the one that, where she's a witness of a crime. Do you remember what kind of crime she was a witness to?
It was a theft. I could definitely, you know what I could do? Is if you want to meet up, I could just take you right to their houses.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
Probably like to do that.
Okay.
Just to get it out of the way. Is that something we could do today?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just got to get cleaned up. I've been working in the yard. And.
Okay. Maybe if Dennis and I come by and pick you up, we could just drive. And.
Would it be okay if I met you?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. How long you need? How about maybe you just meet at Starbucks there on the road?
Sure. I, yeah. We're planning, my sister's in town, and okay. This is kind of all weird timing, but okay. My sister's in town, so we're planning to go to a baseball game at 7.
Okay.
But I could definitely do that. That's fine.
It won't take very long. What I'd like you to do is just maybe just point out where it happened, and the house is where it happened.
Okay.
Where these people live, I guess.
Okay.
And then I guess we could go from there. But maybe while, let's see. Do you remember if there was, I mean, I'm assuming I can figure out what case number was associated with the theft and with the fight, or was there any enforcement action taken?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think there was any.
And then did the sexual contact with these two occur the same night that you got dispatched to the calls, or was it?
No, they were separate.
Separate?
Yeah.
Later times?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, how about if I'll meet you at Starbucks at 15 minutes, enough time? Or?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, I'll meet you in about 15 minutes.
Sounds good.
Okay,
thanks.
Bye.
This is Sergeant Scott. Today's date is Friday, July 18th, and it's 0104 hours. I am here with Officer and Sergeant Dennis. We are discussing and have been discussing for about an hour criminal investigation, allegation of criminal conduct against, and we've been talking about this case for about an hour, and when we started off today, I advised you of your rights, and those rights being that you have the right to remain silent, that if you give up the right to remain silent, then anything you say can will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to speak with an attorney and to have an attorney present with you while you're being questioned and when you are required to face witnesses. And if you so desire and cannot afford to hire one, one will be appointed to represent you if you're requesting one. You made mention of a union representative. I told you you're really not entitled to one, but acknowledge if you wanted to have one here, you can have one here. You were interested and have been interested in trying to get this situation resolved. I think you've been very forthcoming with us, and I want to compliment you on tape for being that way. It makes our job a lot easier. As I started off talking with you tonight, these are always difficult cases, and I never know how I'm going to act. Dennis never knows how he's going to act. We never know how people are going to react when we get involved in this situation. We're all brothers in uniform, but these things can take different directions and that kind of thing. So, and the reason we are on tape now is that we have discussed, I think, this situation involving Fritz in its entirety, and my interest is in being able to capture the sequence of events and and address each issue in your own words. And so, by way of recap, I'm hoping that we can want to do this on tape. And we haven't compelled you in any way to do this. We haven't threatened you or anything like that. Give us a statement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So we've identified, you know, several situations, and I told you earlier on, obviously, that I'm not interested in exploiting your personal life or anything like that. And I explained to you that the way this situation unfolds, there's a parallel between your personal life and your professional life. And so, that being said, we went ahead and talked about the entire situation with Fritz. And can you just explain to me, for the purposes of the tape and by way of recap, how you met we talked about an allegation of sexual misconduct, and you know, she talked about there, you know, being a time when she wasn't really necessarily consenting, and you clearly told us that it's always been consensual. Can you talk to me about, first of all, how you guys met?
We met, I don't remember the exact date, but it was approximately a year and a half ago, via the internet. And one thing that I did mention to you before
and I'm not sure why, but when I first spoke or emailed her, I guess I am, is what it actually was, her on the internet, I assumed that I was talking to her. She told me yesterday that apparently I wasn't talking to her. I was talking to the boyfriend at the time.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't know that.
Okay.
We talked about meeting, normal type talk, nothing. It didn't seem like it was anything sexual, or I can't remember talking about anything sexual or anything like that. We talked about meeting. We both consented to meeting at a public place, and we met at Starbucks. I don't think it was right after the first time we talked. I think it was a few chats.
Okay.
It sounds like, or what it was a couple chats. We both consented to meeting. We met, and we had no physical contact. It was type of thing. We continued to talk over the internet, and again, I was assuming I was talking to her. I can't tell you if I was talking to her or her boyfriend, but I thought I was talking to her. It was her same screen name that she had. It was no other different screen names or anything like that, or email address. We both consented to her coming over to my house, and which she consented to doing. She came over, and we ended up sitting down on the couch in the main living room of my house, which is when you walk right through the door, there's a living room. Couch and chair. So we ended up having consensual sexual intercourse there, I believe on the couch. And it was either on the couch or on the chair. There's a lazy boy type chair right next to the couch. It was either on the couch or on the chair. I can't remember. The conversation was, I don't remember the exact details of the conversation, but there was talk about, you know, why is she here if she has a boyfriend, and, you know, why I invite her over type thing. And it was all, I remember her saying that she was there to have a good time for herself, or there to have fun for herself. And, I mean, that was my reaction as well. I mean, it was nothing else. Again, we ended up having, sex there, and then she left. There was no ever any indication or talk or anything, gesture-wise or physical-wise, saying that she didn't want to have sex with me. She left. No big deal. We ended up talking, I think, again, via internet. I saw her, I believe I was working, and it was pretty late at night, no other vehicles on the road. And I saw her driving down the road in the same truck that she met me in at Starbucks. She recognized me, I recognized her. We ended up pulling over to the side of the road. I believe it was that, it was near the Honda dealership, I think.
Oh, okay.
Near there somewhere. And basically it was like, hey, how's it going with, you know, I remember having a big ass dog, big dog with her. He was a huge dog. And, she said that she was going to pick up her boyfriend, who she named at the time, and that she needed to get going because she was late. And so I said, well, it was good to see you. She said it was good to see me, and we left it at that. That same night, later on in the night, I believe it was the same night, I'm pretty positive it was the same night, I saw her walking near Costco with the dog. And there was nobody else out. I knew her at the time, and I think it was pretty obvious that I was going to stop and say, what's going on? You know, it's pretty late out here, and they're out walking around, what's up? She said that she was in an argument with her boyfriend, that she just needed to be out and take a walk. Type of stuff. We had no physical contact or anything like that there. The boyfriend ended up showing up, and she had mentioned that he had slapped her in this of this argument. I ended up checking out with two at that point on the air and basically just advising, hey man, she's saying that you slapped her. If you did, I didn't see any signs of it, but if you did, you might not want to be doing that because you'd be going to jail for stuff like that. And he was just, he basically said that he did slap her. And I said, well, okay, well, good luck. And I told her bye and I left. I don't remember when the next contact I had with her, but at some point she contacted me to let me know that she had moved to a house and she moved in with the gal there by the name of I didn't know blood and I'd never been. I don't remember if I ever went to the house. No, I did go to the house. And I can't remember how long after the contact was, but it was in the same type of, it was in the same time frame. And we had a consensual sexual intercourse there.
There was between you and the one time, and then there was a threesome between you and at that house, it's like you said.
The way it happened was I met at the house. We had consensual intercourse there. I believe two or three times. Okay. I can't remember the exact number of times. Sure. I went to her house and we had sexual intercourse. And I don't think I met until the incident of the park.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember meeting them. May have been gone or something when I went to the house. I knew that we were working together at a limo place.
Okay.
And I've never seen them driving a limo. I went to her house a couple times. We had consensual sexual intercourse there. Nothing other than the ordinary, what normal people would think is regular sexual intercourse. While on duty, I remember running into. I knew we liked to hang out at the bar, which was one of her fights all the time.
Sure.
And I don't remember if I ran into like out in the parking lot or somewhere near downtown. And I don't remember what was going on that night. You had mentioned that it would may have been the celebration,
right?
But I don't remember if that was happening or not. I don't remember having any other contact as far as like phone or anything. We didn't normally have phone conversations. It was like she would leave me a message, I would call her back, and we'd say, hey, you know, let's get together at your house or whatever. I remember running into her. And she was with her friend. And I remember when I did contact them, they weren't in the car. I remember that they were not in the car. They were like going to their car or something, and I just ended up seeing them. And they said, hey, I were going home, we're done, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you guys want to, and at that point I was working at which was the university area. I said, well, you guys want to talk, or, you know, you can follow me over here. Which they did. They followed me to, I try to remember earlier, but I can't remember exactly where we went to, but it was somewhere near, I remember being near Boulevard and the area.
Okay.
Because they were going to be going that way to.
Right.
We met there, they followed me there, we got out of the car, we talked, no real contact, no. I don't remember any kind of physical contact or anything like that between any of us. They were both in a pretty good mood, laughing, joking, nothing out of the ordinary. I remember talking to them about meeting me up at if they wanted to, which they both said sure. I remember a call coming out and saying that I had to go take care of this call. If you guys are going to be up there, I'll drive back by there to see if you guys are there. They said, okay. I left, and when I was done with the call, I drove back up to the park and saw the car that we're in, which I think was like a red IROC or like a Firebird or some red sports car, pet car, which was driving. I'd never seen the car before. And we ended up getting out of the vehicles, talking there. They were really into each other. kissing each other, flirting with each other. I could tell that they had been drinking, but I didn't feel like they were intoxicated or drunk, in other words. They were taking their shirts off, pulling their shirts off, flashing their chest, mainly at each other. Like, they were doing this to each other, and I was kind of laughing and, you know, joking with them at the same time. They initiated contact with me, kissing, hugging type stuff. Both of them did. And it led to both of them consensually having oral sex on, or committing oral sex on me. I didn't commit any type of oral sex on them. They both took turns at it, and never any indication that nobody did not want to do it. They were both laughing and kissing me at the same time type stuff. One would kiss me while the other one would be committing oral sex. When that was finished, they went on their way. I said, said goodbye type stuff. See you later. I don't remember how long we were there. I want to say we were there for 15 minutes. It wasn't like an hour or even half an hour. It felt like it was about 15 minutes.
Were you assigned that night, or were you?
No, I think that was my normal fee. That was my normal fee for that time period. We were doing the whole, 2 or 3 months in one area and then switching.
Okay.
And I think that was my normal fee for that time period.
Were you wearing any modified uniform, or were you wearing your regular uniform?
Just regular uniform. Yeah. Regular patrol car. Nothing different. Broke contact from there. Later, remember meeting up with, short of that night, that was, broke contact with them, right there. I don't remember how long after that, but I remember going to the house, and we're there, and consensually, we had a three-way sexual intercourse, they both had separate bedrooms, and we had three-way sexual consensual intercourse there. Again, it was both of them kind of doing the whole switch. One person would be kissing her, the other person would be involved with the sexual intercourse, and then you would switch, and it kind of just went like that throughout the whole encounter. I don't remember if we met one more time at the house. I don't think we did. I think that was the last time. But we may have met one more time there. I never ever meet with her anywhere else other than that house after the Parkinson. And I think I met with her one more time there. And honestly, I don't remember if we had sexual intercourse or not after that. From there, I lost contact with her, and didn't know. I had heard, or she had told me, or something, I can't remember, that she was not going to be living at the house, or I think I just knew, for some reason, I can't remember why, that she was gone. I lost contact with her. The next thing that happened was in March, in the time frame of March, it might have been, or it was before March of 2002, while still working in, I had driven by a house, which I normally do, and I've done other marijuana grows the exact same way, where I have my windows down, and then you can just smell fresh growing marijuana. That's not the only one that I've conducted in that manner, where I just would be driving down the street, smell fresh growing marijuana, get out and investigate it, come to grow. Excuse me. I ended up getting to an investigation that I initiated at a house on the street, because I initially smelled fresh growing marijuana. I had involved other officers by getting out, checking the area, and doing the full-on investigation of basically a street operation growing marijuana while on patrol. Things like getting out, smelling what we could smell, where it was coming from, trying to pinpoint the house. Eventually pinpointed the house, and I don't remember the address. Via other officers, and, you know, experience, we eventually pinpointed that we thought that the marijuana was coming from this certain house. Ended up running the vehicle, figuring out that there was a guy by the name of was living there, or at least he was registered to the vehicle. And I want to say I got a call to Binet about the E-Web power thing and who was paying for the telephone. And I want to say that it all came back to I didn't know who was. I never met him. I ran him. There didn't seem like any involvement with any, you know, recent or any felonies, drugs, or anything. Tried to initiate contact, but never made contact. The way the house was set up, they had a fence around the front yard, except for the carport, and you had to ring the door by the fence to make any contact with the front door. The front door was inside the fence. Never could make contact with anybody, even when the vehicle was there. I ended up seeing the vehicle, confirmed it with the plate number at the pub one night. So I set up a plan to watch the vehicle and follow it to the house so we can make contact with whoever was driving the vehicle, who probably was the owner of the house, so we could initiate contact to investigate the girl. Which I did, and I don't remember exactly, but I'm almost, I don't remember exactly, but I think I was contacted while watching the vehicle, and I figured out that she had been working there that night. I mean, she told me she was working there as a dancer, all that kind of stuff. She walked out with the guy and then walked towards the trooper, which was the vehicle I saw and was watching. And I remember asking her at that point, who is that, your boyfriend or fiance or somebody you're involved with? And she said, yeah. And I didn't say anything else. At that point, I contacted, I don't remember if it was at that point, but at some point I contacted Officer who was assisting me. He was waiting at the house for me to tell him that so-and-so was coming. And I think Officer was involved at that point, too. I can't remember if he came afterwards or not, but I remember telling them that they needed to, if they didn't mind taking the lead on this, because there might be somebody at this house that I know that might show up, and I don't want to tamper with, you know, the investigation or get in the middle of it, which was fine. And so we ended up making contact with her. She showed up at the house first. We ended up making contact with her. I talked to her. I said, you know, I didn't know you were living here until tonight. We believe that there's a marijuana grow here. She didn't want to give consent. Wasn't there at the time. She didn't want to give consent because she didn't believe that she had the right to. Got there. He ended up giving consent for the search of the house. We ended up finding a marijuana grow. He ended up getting cited for the marijuana grow. I didn't have any contact with her until, I want to say, about maybe 4 weeks to a month later. I was contacted via message, voicemail message, that she wanted to talk to me. I called her back, and we met at an open parking lot. I don't remember the address, but it was a lighted parking lot. And she wanted advice on what she thought we should do on the marijuana grow. And the type of advice she was asking was, should he plead out? Should he fight it? That kind of advice. I told her that I couldn't give her legal advice. And I told her, you know, basically what I told her is that those are questions she needs to to ask, or he needs to ask a lawyer. I can't give that kind of advice. But that's what we talked about. There was no physical contact, there was no sexual contact, nothing like that. We didn't have any more sexual contact prior to the last one at the house. No more sexual contact, or contact for that matter. She appreciated me being there. She appreciated me talking to her. Nothing out of the ordinary. I never once started to be irritated other than with her boyfriend. But she never was irritated with me. She never, ever indicated that she didn't want to talk to me or be around me or want to kiss me or have sex with me or anything. I never saw any indication that that was occurring. And she never voiced that, ever. Lost contact with her again. And I remember that I ran Mark a couple times to see if he wanted, to see what he was involved with, which is normal practice for me. I mean, if I arrest somebody or if I give somebody a citation for drugs, I'm going to follow up on them, see what they're involved with, see if they're still doing that kind of stuff. Never saw anything. I remember that everything in errors on him, it was showing that he's still living at the house. But I knew that that wasn't true because I driven by there and it looked like nobody was living there. And I think there was a for sale sign in front or something like that. But never found out where he was living. Didn't have any contact either. Was it yesterday morning? Yesterday morning or the day before yesterday in the late evening, there was a voicemail. She said that she was living in and she that she really needed to talk to me and left me a phone number, which is the phone number I wrote down in my notebook that I showed you. I don't think I attempted to call her then. I checked my voicemail again later, and there was another message on my voicemail saying she was in that she was flying into town tonight, and that she really needed to talk to me, but didn't say why, and she left the same phone number. I ended up calling her back and making contact with her. At that point, she said she was in town. And she said that she was staying at the and I asked her if she wanted to talk tonight or what the deal was. And she invited me to come over. She gave me the room number, told me where it was. I got there. She was outside on the patio. I guess what you would call it. She was smoking a cigarette. She waved me down. I asked her how to get in there. And she told me I had to go around to the main part of the building. That was the door that was open. I walked in there, knocked on the door, and she invited me in. She was really tired. She said she was really tired from her long flight. We hugged. I think we gave her a normal kiss. Nothing more than a peck type of a kiss. We talked for just a brief moment. She didn't at that point tell me what she wanted to talk to me. She just said that she wanted to talk to me about something. She voiced that she was really tired, that she wanted to, she needed to get some sleep type stuff. And I said, well, yeah, that's fine. And we set up a time where I was going to come and see her later, off duty, and where we could talk about whatever she wanted to talk about, which she agreed to. And she said that she had an appointment, but that she would be. She asked me what time I could come back, and I told her that it would have to be around 8-ish, because I had school, that I could come after school, right before work. And she said, okay, I'll make sure I'm here. I came back, and we talked, and she mentioned that she was seeing a counselor, and I said, are you seeing a psychologist or a counselor? She said, I'm a psychologist, and she kept, not hinting, but she was acting like she wanted to say something, but she didn't know how to say it. And finally I said, is there something you want to tell me? or is there something that you want to talk about? And it seems like you want to say something, but you're not saying it. And she said that her she mentioned something about, what is it called, when, like, doctor-patient...
Oh, confidentiality.
Confidentiality.
Privileged conversation.
Privileged conversation. And I was confused because I didn't know why she was saying that. Yeah. And she said that she had talked to her psychologist and she had told her psychologist everything about her life, including us, me and her. I said, okay. And she said that her psychologist told her that she should tell me, or she should tell, that if she doesn't tell somebody about what happened between us, that she was going to. The psychologist said that. And I said, well, what do you mean? You know, I didn't understand what that meant. And I inquired about it, and I asked her, well, what does your psychologist think that we did wrong? Or what do you think that we did wrong? And she said that it was mainly how we met over the internet. That's what the psychologist was concerned about, how we met. And I said, well, did you say that we met, like, via a prostitution deal or something like that? And she was alluding to that's what the psychologist thought. And I said, well, there was no mention of me paying you for anything. I never said I would pay you for anything. I never offered to pay you for anything. I never said, hey, why don't you come over and I'll give you a couple bucks or anything like that. It was never, ever a prostitution deal. And we didn't even talk about that because I didn't think you were a prostitute or anything like that. And she said, well, yeah, I know that, and I know that that money never came up. So I said, did you tell that I paid you? Because at that point, she had also told me that had forced her to do things. And so thinking of forcing to do things, I was thinking, and she didn't say it exactly, but I was thinking that was forcing her to do prostitution acts. So I said, did you tell that I paid you something? And she said no. That she specifically told that I never paid her for anything. That it was all me and her consensual. And at that point, I mentioned, well, you know, I want to tell you the truth. I knew you were using me to get rid of and to piss him off. And she said, well, yeah, I was. And I said, I knew that from the beginning, from when I first met you. I mean, it was obvious when you came to my house and said that, you know, knew you were there and that kind of stuff. It did sound like you were using me just to piss him off. But I never asked her if it was because I'm a police officer or if she was just using me in general as another boyfriend-type person just to piss him off. I didn't ask that, or that wasn't mentioned. And she said, yeah, that's what I was doing. She said that she was having a lot of problems in her life, that she was just trying to get things straightened out. She said that she was going to try to get her stuff back from because she had left him. And she specifically, I specifically told her, because it sounded like she was asking for help to get her stuff back. It sounded like she was kept bringing this up about her stuff and she wanted my help. And I said, well, what you could do is I can't go over there. I'm not going to go over there in the middle of it. And what you could do is maybe call for a civil standby to get your stuff back. She said her name and his name were both on the lease wherever they were living. And that was the last mention of that. We did kiss, we did hug, and that's all we did. Throughout the conversation, a friend of hers kept calling. And she said that it was a friend of hers who she called that lives here in town that she was going to get with tonight or hook up with tonight to go out and party. And she said that me, her friend, and her mom, who lives in Arizona, that's her mom. She said that we were the only three that knew that she was here because she didn't want to see anybody else that she'd been involved with. So throughout our conversation, this friend kept calling and saying that, you know, they were talking about getting alcohol and partying and that kind of stuff. the phone rings again, and this is all within, like, 15, 20 minutes. It wasn't very long. The phone rang about six times, and it was the same female. Phone rings again, and a female says, oh, well, guess what? She's here. You're going to meet my friend. I want to say it was something like that.
Okay.
She says, oh, guess what? You're going to meet my friend. So, friend knocks on the door, comes in, introduces us. How you doing? We had a brief conversation. She asked me if I came with prom. I said no. You know, I just, from an old friend of hers, we're talking. They were talking about getting together, going out. They said we're going to go to her friend's house for the girl's house first, drink, and then they were going to go out somewhere. But they didn't know where they were going. I said, well, no. It was nice talking to you, and it was really good seeing you. If I don't talk to you, see you again. Good luck back at good luck with getting your stuff. Remember what I told you about the civil standby? That's about it. She gave me a hug. We started walking towards the door. The guy was sitting in on the chair in the same room as we were. There's no separate rooms. She gave me a hug. She said it was good seeing you. And she was, you know, it was a nice talk. And I said bye and I left.
And there's a other than the traffic stop, or I mean the contact with Park, there really was no car stops that you would call official car stops where you turn the lights on or pull over anything like that. And we talked about I asked you for your consent to search for Locker pursuant to this investigation and look in your notebook and you got your notebook in your hand back as we're talking and you gave me consent to do that.
Yes.
Okay. As a part of my inquiry into this, it's routine to do to conduct a search of your email on your computer and voicemail, all that kind of thing.
Of my home computer?
No.
Oh,
just here.
Okay, say your home computer. We don't have
now. No, I don't really have any interest in that.
Okay. Oh yeah, absolutely. You can. Okay. Well, I'll tell you that there's probably no message that I saved.
Okay.
I usually just erase them as soon as I get them.
Okay.
But there were numerous messages, especially in the last 2 days.
On voicemail?
On voicemail. Okay. I think she left me 4 or 5 messages.
Is there anything on your home computer related to this, to your meeting initially with, that would be still there?
No.
Okay.
With the computer that we used to have, we got rid of, and we just recently, not recently, but in the last year, bought a new gateway computer.
Okay.
But there's nothing on there that would be related to her.
Okay. Another thing I'd like to do is, you got a personal cell phone. You gave me that cell phone number. I'd like to look at that, just, you know, to look at it for what numbers you have programmed on it.
Sure.
Any of them are exciting related to this investigation. I'd like to get some copies of maybe your bills related to that
for the cell phone?
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you keep back his records if you like. You probably don't. But
I don't know if I have the accurate bills concerning my phone.
Okay.
But
you don't mind leaving your phone maybe like tonight and I can look at it and I can get back in.
Absolutely not.
Okay. The other thing that I want to mention to you is that, you know, while this investigation is ongoing, and it will be ongoing for a period of time, we just have some background stuff to do, I don't want you to have any contact with or any of the other people involved in this investigation that could be potentially witnesses.
Absolutely
related to it. And that is along the lines of tampering, you know, and I know you understand what that means.
Absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to say, you know, my investigation will be reviewed, you know, by others. And is there anything you like want to say on your behalf about any of your conduct related to this investigation?
No, I mean, well, yes.
Okay.
I understand that, you know, as far as this fat-headed about it, but I consider myself to go out there and get the job done 100%. And I think I've proven that to the right people. I made a bad mistake, and I understand that. I'm willing to live with consequences of that. I am adamant about not believing that whatever I did was criminal. Like I said, at one point that I didn't think that I was forcing myself on her or forcing her to do anything that she didn't want to do with me, essentially. I understand that I made a bad mistake and that it was wrong.
And you're talking about the...
I'm talking about her being on duty and having sexual contact with her on duty. I also remember that this happened before the incident that happened with my sergeant at the time. And I don't need to just bring his name into this, but after the incident with him went down, that really scared me and stuck in my brain as far as what are you doing?
Yeah.
And after that, it was like, this is gonna happen. I won't go again. As far as, I mean, I can't say enough, but I feel dangerous. I feel pretty nervous. I'm not here voluntarily talking to you because, I think it's cool or anything like that or whatever. I mean, I don't know how to explain it, but I am really adamant about that. I don't think I did anything criminally wrong. I do think I did something professionally. Maybe to some people morally, and definitely broke the policy. And I don't have any qualms about that. And I appreciate you guys being up front. But I have nothing to hide. I feel that most of the contact I had besides the incidents on duty that I've told you about were personal, and I'm even willing to talk about those personal incidents just to clear this up, because I don't think it was criminal. I know that I didn't necessarily have to talk to you guys without a lawyer, and I'm not interested in hiding anything, and I feel comfortable talking to you without a lawyer, and disclosing what happened on my personal time as well. That's really it. I don't really have anything else to after that.
I appreciate that. Dennis, you have
any... You mentioned one time that you mentioned to her that you had disclosed to your supervisor your relationship with her.
Yes. I didn't remember that. But yes,
so
we did.
Which supervisor was
that? Oh, Sergeant. And what I disclosed was, what I disclosed is that it was along the lines of the investigation was happening with Marijuana Grove. And I said that there might be a conflict, of interest here, because I know about type of stuff. The other thing was that, now I'm glad that you said that because I did remember this part, sir. I was contacted by a fellow officer about somebody he knew, and this was after the Marijuana Grove, that somebody that he knew, who was a stripper, who worked with that she heard that I was using the Marijuana Grove to have sex with her. And I don't know what that meant. I don't know if that meant that I was not arresting her and using the Marijuana Grove over her head to have sex with her, or what that meant. I didn't understand what that meant, because I had no contact with her after the Marijuana Grove, other than when I saw her at the Marijuana Grove, and when she contacted me to ask for advice.
Okay. And you told Sergeant.
I went to Sergeant, and I told Sergeant, hey, I just want to let you know that there's a gal that works at, and she was the gal that was at the Marijuana Grove, which you already knew about. And there was this rumor going around that this is what she's saying. I don't I didn't say, like, it was an allegation or anything that she was coming from. Like, it was a rumor going around that this is what she was saying. I just want to let you know ahead of time. And, yeah, probably did. And that was all the conversation was. And he said, I appreciate you letting me know. And I'll remember that.
Okay, I think that pretty much does it for the tape recorded portion of this investigation. Thank you for your candor. I appreciate it.
Small Town Dicks is produced by Zibby Allen and Yardley Smith and co-produced by Detectives Dan and Dave.
This episode was edited by Logan Heftel, Yardley Smith, and Zibby Allen.
Music for the show was composed by John Forrest. Our associate producer is Aaron Gaynor, and our books are cooked and cats wrangled by Ben Cornwell.
If you like what you hear and want to stay up to date with the show, head on over to smalltowndicks.com and become our pal on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Small Town Dicks. We love hearing from our small town fam, so hit us up.
Yeah, and also we have a YouTube channel where you can see trailers for past and forthcoming episodes. And we're part of Stitcher Premium now.
That's right. If you choose to subscribe, you'll be supporting our podcast. That way, we can keep going to small towns across the country and bringing you the finest in rare true crime cases, told, as always, by the detectives who investigated them. Thanks for listening, small town fam.
Nobody's better than you.